Let's let children go to children's time. Hey, Robbie. Looks like Mandy realized there needed to be a fire putter outer. I already praising fathers there, but I don't tell you what, you never quite get enough mothers around, I tell you that right now. Okay. The message today is titled A Kingdom in a Speck, Ones, Fifties, and Thousands. I've been wrestling with this message all week. If you get tangled up in all the numbers I'm going to give you, you'll check out really early in the message and you'll miss where I'm trying to go. I'm counting on the Holy Spirit to do a whole lot of heavy lifting. I know exactly what it is I want to say, I'm just not totally convinced I've got it written down. but I wanted to highlight one of the verses that Jake read, Mark 4:30. Jesus said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable shall we use for it?" Let's pray. Father, you are speaking to each and every single heart in this room. We're equals in your sight. And we know that if we will open our hearts and our spirit to you, we will hear from you. And so, God, by the power of your Spirit, open this word, remove human impurity from it, so we know we've been hearing from you this morning. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I read a J.D. Walt devotional earlier in the week, and it triggered something, and I began thinking about, because I love the parables, but I especially love the kingdom parables. Jesus told about 43 parables that we have in the gospel. You know, there may be others we don't know, but we have those in the canon. Of those, Jesus spoke of the kingdom of God in a parable 13 times. That's not counting all the other times he mentioned the kingdom of God. We understand, I hope this congregation understands by now, that the gospel is the gospel of the kingdom of God. That's the good news. The cross is the peak of the good news, but it's all about the kingdom of God. In 2022, Spartanburg County population was 346,000, roughly. 346,000, okay? 346. In 2024, the U.S. population is measured at about 336 million. 336 million. In a Gallup poll 20 years ago, an average of 42% of U.S. adults attended regular religious services. That's every week or nearly every week. 42% of U.S. adults. Today, that number is currently 30%. 59% of all U.S. churches average 60 worshipers a Sunday. So congratulations, you're about average. You're going to think that I have an entirely different reason for bringing this up than I do. You're going to say it's all about numbers. The preacher didn't preach all about the numbers and blah, 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 blah. You know what? If I never preach about numbers, you never get the message. But anyway, that's not today. I'll keep going. In Jesus' time, around 30 AD, Roman Empire had about 45 million people. the Roman Empire. That's from over around Spain on up through to about Turkey or so. The Roman Empire. 40. I lost it. What did I say? Thank you. I don't even know where I'm at anymore. 45 million. Here's where I'm going. In Matthew chapter 10 and in Mark, Jesus sends 12 disciples to a region where there were about 150,000 people. In Luke chapter 10, Jesus sends 72. In Acts chapter 1, after the resurrection, but before Pentecost, there were 120 gathered together. Sometimes we think about our numbers as insignificant. Often we look at a little group, and I hear this from pastors of very large churches, because they view our worship and our presence in church on Sunday morning as somehow insignificant or not mature or somehow not equivalent. And I have to admit, as a pastor, you know, it's in your mind. You know who's at church and who's not. And it could be that when you think about 120,000 people, that 120 seems statistically irrelevant. I'll remind you, in present-day terms, though, the power of 19 people on 9/11. How 19 jihadists attacked our country and made an impact that, to this day, you know, is still a gaping wound for many. And it's true, I know, that there are scores and scores of tiny little churches that came out with us in the recent departure, and they're marching headlong into mediocrity, continued dysfunction, and closure. But what if those 13 parables, someone actually heard the heart of what Jesus was trying to demonstrate? How something so small and insignificant is always the way the kingdom works. That it's always in somewhat disheartening numbers and size that God does the most significant things. How could we forget the power of one family in a neighborhood of 30 families to evangelize and bring a foothold for the gospel in a community? What if it was for us, churches of 50 in cities of 100,000? What if that was all it took to plant the unstoppable kingdom and start that crazy kingdom math? Decline is all over the church. And you know, the church fully lost a third during the COVID pandemic. That Jesus died too. People figured out that they didn't need that anymore. They didn't need that, their church. They didn't need that religion, you know, that and that Jesus. And so about a third of the church just melted away. But there are still scores and scores of tiny, tiny little congregations everywhere, all over. And if this dry weather makes our whole region a tinderbox, just imagine what all those tiny little churches and congregations could represent as a tinderbox in the kingdom of God. Ones, fifties, and thousands. What if all it took Just what if? All it really took were two or three gathered in the name of Jesus to upend the plans and the powers of darkness in a region. Now you're with me, and you know, and you're thinking how I'm thinking. It's not about the numbers, is it? It's not even really about large or small. People know something is missing. And if the current rate of decline continues in the next 30 years, that 40%, that 49% that became 30% will sink even lower to 15 or 10 or to nothing for many. Grandparent, what about your grandkids? Will you superintend the generation that let it all go? You say, well, it's not likely to happen because right down the road we have a congregation of thousands. People are crowded in there right now, shoulder to shoulder, to teach and be ignited and have their faith set on fire and their families nurtured. But it's really not even about that. All the way through the scriptures, God's way is the smallest way, the most insignificant way. And he said, even the path that you must follow is so small that many miss it. Most will miss it. And they're still coming to the altar. They're coming. Are you going to make an announcement, or I just embarrassed him to fool out of you? Well, we just lost another one. I honestly don't know what the trouble is. I can't help it. It's me, oh Lord. Everybody knows something's missing. And because they know something's missing, America still claims to be spiritual. They're just not religious. And so we have a bunch of spiritual people who are spiritual in their own way. You know, the golf course and the bass boat at this or that activity, travel ball, anything that can occupy our attention. Yeah, people know something's missing. Saturday, while my family waited, as they have many times through the years, Joy stepped out on the porch to say, lunch is ready and everybody's sitting at the table. And then she saw I was on the phone. And she knew that meant when I said, I'll be there, you know, she went on back in the house. But it's the power of this one phone call that helped me understand exactly what I needed to share with you. Because the person is just one voice in a growing multitude of voices who asked the religious leader, what is missing for me? I know something is missing. I know there's more for me. And it's not Bible study. It's not learning the doctrines and disciplines of the church. It's not in any one area. There's not any single thing that is more important than others. Because they do that well in lots of churches. We have members of Protestant denominations that can give you rather black and white answers to every question in life. You don't even need to bring your brain to church. They'll tell you what to think. Something's still missing. It's this, I want to say to you, it's this power of this multiplication of the kingdom of God. It's five loaves and two fishes. It's the initiative when the council meeting gets together and they say, and somebody says, well, we will never be able to afford that. And everybody else says, well, it's not about the money now, is it? Let's start with faith and see what God can do to cast a mountain into the sea. What if in little neighborhoods all over, the Holy Spirit authored a revival and ignited the hearts and passions of very tiny churches, not to grow, but to evangelize, to tell their neighbor about the gospel of Jesus Christ? What if you decided that you were becoming convicted over your neighborhood, and that there was somebody nearby that if you prayed and asked God, He would show you someone you could share your faith with in a way that was authentic? Not that you need to do this or you should stop doing that, but can I tell you what Jesus did for me? I've been dying to tell you, and I just need a minute. Or come to my church. They give flashlights to the children. And they all run around like banshees and scream. In other words, in the kingdom of God, are people repenting of their sin? Not from a shaking finger, but from the power of God resident in a testimony of 12 or 72 or 120. That's not just something for another day and time. It's for the now. Since COVID, the church knows, right, that the ones who are left are disciples. You are what we've got. There is no more room for a decision that you're insignificant or that you can't make a difference. It's not enough for you to say, I know other people are called, but I'm not. The best way to be in the game is to put your helmet on and get on the field and make such an impact that someone notices. I've told you many times from the pulpit about attending college at Winthrop, and I seriously judged the guys from the local mission. They come out there to the commons. There's a lot of grassy areas at Winthrop, but there's a gate you walk through to get to the main buildings. And they parked their Ford truck near there, sat on the tailgate, handed out Chick Tracks. You remember those? Kids, that used to be a trifolded thing that would tell you why you were going to hell if you didn't choose Jesus. And they'd hand them out, and the kids stepped through the gate and put it right in the trash can. And you know, I just watched one day, just observed this process of handing the Chick Track out and people putting it in the trash can and going on their merry way. And I used to just think that was so horrible. And that's our problem in a nutshell, really, is people get a sermon like this and they say, they get really irritated and a burr is under their saddle and they say, I've got to do more. I'll print out some tracks. I'll park my truck in a gate and I'll hand them out. Let me tell you, sometimes you get a strike that way. Even a squirrel, blind squirrel, gets a nut. That's hardly what I would call spirit-empowered ministry. Rather, are we asking ourselves, where is God at work? And how can we go and join Him in it? And for you today, as you feel any level of conviction over this message, you need to realize that all God wants you to do is hear Him call and see where He's working. There's a real Jesus. A real one. He's alive today. I'm not worried that the kingdom is going to shrink unless you get out there. But preaching is about alerting us to the fact that we all have a part to play. Looking around today, people in the front don't know it, but there's quite a few people behind you today. There's some gaps, but it looks full from here, close. The power of this number of people reproduced 177,000 times across this country. And people realize the basic kingdom principle Jesus gave us about multiplication. Start small. And expect to see big things. People who reel about the real Jesus get super excited about things. They become an encourager. Group of pastors I was a part of, we were lamenting the need for different kinds of preaching. And, you know, the stress levels in our families are pretty high these days. And so people come in these walls, they're really looking for somebody to say something that can comfort them. They can let the world kind of stay outside and they can get in and get what they feel they need. There's also a real need, though, to preach a straight and pure gospel. There is only one Jesus Christ. And His gospel is applicable the same way on every region on the planet. And what is lacking are workers to share part in the harvest. When is the last time you personally felt compelled to share the gospel with someone? Tens, fifties, thousands. Joy was laughing last night, and it bothers me when she laughs because sometimes I have to check and make sure I've got my, you know, things in order. She was giggling, and I didn't know what. I said, "What's so funny?" And she said, "Well, they're advertising ice cream at McDonald's again." And I said, "What's so funny about that?" And she said, "Everybody knows McDonald's ice cream machine is always out of order." Well, there you go, Joy. Everybody agrees. I didn't know that. Well, they're advertising a Jesus over at that church that everybody knows doesn't work. You want good Bible study? They got it. You want fellowship? They got meals. You want praise music? They got dark lights and fog machines. And somebody who sings the latest songs. And none of that is it. And many people know there's something missing. In our Sunday evening messages, I've been trying to get our group to hear me say, if in a Sunday morning gathering of 60 people, there were 20 who were activated by the kingdom of God and knew the power that was present in the room, our gatherings would be a lot different. Because that's the essence that's missing. Is you, and you all understanding that you are an activated minister of God. You are one of the 12, the 72, and the 120, and the 500, and on and on. You do have the power resident within you to believe. And you say, "Well, I've got just so tiny little faith." And you know what? Your tiny little faith is bigger than the smallest mustard seed. And Jesus said, even the faith the size of a mustard seed, you could speak to a mountain and say, "Go throw yourself in the ocean," and it would do so. Now, you may be like some of my friends who leap immediately to numbers and say, "Well, we can't do certain things without certain numbers, or we can't finance certain things if we don't have a certain bank balance." But none of that is really true. It's the principle we used to use in Salkehatchee. If we gather the church body in one place for a mission and wait on God, He will not only show us who to go to, He'll provide the means. And our prayer can become at that time, "Lord, this is your miracle. You authored it. You brought us here. We need the resources. We know we have nothing. So we're looking for you to provide." And in each and every day of a week, we would see the multiplication of zero from out of nothing, something, which just happens to be the principle of creation. Out of nothing, something. And so, as I draw you to a moment of consideration here, let's just rest on that thought. And I would like for you to say within your mind, think it to yourself, just so it'll lodge there. Out of something, out of nothing, something. Say it to yourself. Out of nothing, something. I don't know how he did it. All I know is he did it for me. If you give me a minute, I'll tell you all about it. Maybe it'll work for you, if you ask. That's the power of one person's message. Let's take a minute and just reflect on that. Just seriously think about the power resident in this room right now. This average number, this average size congregation. The power in this room, if it's people, we're only aware of the potential of the kingdom.